Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful morning You've given us, O Lord, as we come before Your presence. Thank You for Your songs which we sang and praised to You. Thank You for everything You spoke to us till now. Thank You for blessing our children through the verses. Thank You for the opportunity You've given me to share the word to the church. Thank You for everything You're doing in this place. As many who are not here, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that Your grace be with them. Strengthen and guide them. Thank You for everybody who You brought here, Lord. Thank You for everything You're doing in this place. Thank You for the songs. Thank You for the psalms. Thank You for everything we recited to You. Commit the choir into Your hands. Commit the church into Your hands. Commit the pastor into Your hands. Commit myself into Your hands, Lord, as we speak the word. Let it be true. Let it be complete. Let it be spoken through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You would speak to the hearts and let them receive the word and transform their lives as a result of it. Thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing in this place. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. I thank and praise God for giving us all the opportunity, although we are few in number. There are many people who are missing, I know. But we pray for wherever they are, in whatever situation they are, that the Lord would lead them. I'm going to talk a topic which is not a very pleasant topic. This is not a sermon which you will say hallelujah or praise the Lord to. I'm okay. The Lord has given me a message which I need to share for the betterment of the church. The reason why we need to talk about this, it doesn't honor God to bring our problems to the public. It doesn't honor God to actually fight in public because of petty issues. It doesn't honor God because remember that there are people watching. And I will tell you, for an example, when this was broadcast live, which it was broadcast so that the whole people would try and gain sympathy for both the parties. But on the other hand, we were ridiculed. We were brought to shame. People of other faiths started laughing at us. And they brought the name of the Lord to the ground. Why am I going to speak about this topic today? Because it is important. It is for us to learn, for us to learn, for us to understand, and for us to, if needed, you know, we need to correct ourselves. If we have done something wrong, we need to understand that there is a correction which is needed so that we can learn from these situations. And the Bible is very, very clear about certain topics, and this is one of the topics. This has led me to talk about this topic today from a biblical standpoint, because such behaviors have a habit of coming into the church. Now, you may agree, it may not be in our church, I don't know. I'm not talking about our church in general, but I'm not our church in particular. I'm talking about churches in general. How do we behave in front of them? And I want to talk about this whole issue, which the Bible is very clear about. And we will be going to Philippians 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I will come to the verses in a short while. But we will be talking about this topic which Paul is addressing to the church in Philippi. Philippi had these issues. The church in Philippi had these issues. And if Philippi had these issues, the modern church also can have these issues. And why is it written? So that we can learn from that. Amen. What is the issue we are talking about? The issue is about disunity. Disunity between the church believers. We need to understand this in detail. I will be talking about the what about this. I will be talking about whom about this. And I will try, I don't know if I have the time, but I will try and do a how to solve it as well. Because I want you to understand that God does not appreciate disunity. He does not listen to the people who are disunited. He does not answer the prayers of a disunited church. That is the reality. Unless we unite in heart, unite in mind, unite in soul and spirit, the Lord will not listen to our prayers. The Bible over here has the solution and the reason. Paul has given the reason and the solution. So let's dive into the matter. Can you open with your Bible? I hope you have it with me. Philippians chapter 1. And I will draw you from verse 27. Verse 27 all the way up to verse 4 of chapter 2. If somebody can read both in English and in Malayalam quickly, if you can read chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, 27, all the way up to chapter 2, verse 4. Amen. Can somebody read it in Malayalam? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I saw a documentary once which was talking about how the British took over India. There was once a letter which was written to the leaders in England by, I think it was a viceroy in India, which said like this, India is ripe for the taking. There is no better opportunity right now as the kingdoms in India are divided. And there are so many groups and they will not unite together against a unified purpose. Consider it a victory for the crown. That is how the concept of divide and conquer the British brought into the world as a principle. And they successfully took over the whole nation of India. Division was not an issue. It's not a new issue. It was an old issue. It was there from the beginning, and Paul is talking about it, and it always was a concern from the beginning times, and Paul is addressing it to the church at Philippi. Remember where Paul is writing this from. Paul is writing this from prison. What a thought he has to sit in prison, and he has to write about the unity of the church. He could have been writing about, you know, pray for my release, or pray for my ministry which is there in the prison. No, he is writing something very specific to Philippians. I am in prison. I am a prisoner of Rome. And he is writing under the ugly reality that those of basically his enemies, you can read it a little bit earlier, his enemies are speaking bad things about him. They are denouncing Paul. They are ridiculing Paul. And they are telling things that he has a sin in his life, and that is why he is in prison. Some people are building their kingdoms, building their ministry by lowering Paul. And I want you to pay attention. Maybe it's not a topic which I want to talk about, but Paul's reaction, or his consideration of what he says in response, I do not care about it. What a character revelation of Paul. He says, I do not care about my name being dragged down. I do not care about my personal reputation going away. All I care about is the church. And there is a topic which I want to address, and he's talking about disunity very clearly. In chapter 2, verse 2, he says, make my joy complete. It is incomplete because there is division, disunity in the church. And later on you can read that there are two names of two women whose names have been given, and he is particularly talking about them. Bible quiz question. Do you know who those two women are? Any idea? Loudler. Anybody? No idea. Somebody, I heard somebody say it. Louder. Bible quiz question. Louder. Yes. Euodia and Syntyche. His name is Syntyche. Not our Cynthia, by the way. Syntyche. What a wonderful name to have your name in the Bible, no? I remember when I was young, when we were in Kuwait, there used to be a lot of competitions in church. Bible quiz competition, singing competition. There used to be Bible verse competition, group song competition. Everything used to happen in our churches there. Competition was there. We used to be divided into regions. We used to be competing against each other, all within the church, by the way. All within the church. And there was such a spirit among these people that they had, we need to win. Our region needs to win. And I was also influenced by that society. I was so influenced by them. You know, we used to ridicule, we used to sabotage. You know, sabotage. These people used to call, when practice used to be happening, they will call, miscall. I mean, that time the old phone, no? You know, it's not the mobile, the old phone. It'll start ringing. Then we'll all stop practice, we'll go to ring, it'll get disconnected. And then again we'll start practice, again it'll start ringing. And who's ringing? The other group. And when we pick up, sometimes there is silence on the other. They want to hear what is the song which we are singing, to practicing. And we used to also do the same thing, by the way. Oh, if they can do it, we can also do it. There were so many arguments, so many fights among parents, among, you know, I don't want to say this, but some of the examples they used to bring color of the child as a reason for not getting marks. My child is black, my child is dark, that's why she didn't get the marks. There was once an instant where they said that ente mohan paadiyappam, they put on the air condition. That shabdam destroyed and he could not sing very well. It sounds like a laugh. It is funny, yes, I agree. And I was also part of it. I also used to argue. I also used to judge it. And I also used to go and stand for the right and defend our group. Every group has an agenda. The justification of this on a social level has managed to corrupt the church. The same group of people who are supposedly supposed to identify themselves with Christ are willing to bring another identity of Christ down. I remember justifying and being part of it all. I know that some people, even today, carry these divisions, carry these caste, I'm bringing caste, into the family traditions as well. And they bring it up all in a superior complex, in an inferior complex. They bring it up. I don't want to get into this, but I know it's there prevalent among our churches as well. There is churches according to caste. Lower caste people join together. Nobody else. If they come to church, I'm not talking about our church, by the way. If you're feeling guilty, I don't know why. I'm talking about in India. There used to be a separate section only for them. And there used to be a separate section only for giving the Lord's table to them. You know what I'm talking about. It was not until I read the epistles, I realized one truth. When I reached Colossians chapter 3 verse 11, it says, in Christ, there is no Jew, no Greek, there is no Scythian, there is no barbarian, there is no uncircumcised, there is no circumcised. There is no slave, there is no freeman. If you add Galatians 3:28, there is no male, there is no female. There is no groups in the kingdom of God. No classifications, no divisions. Paul is breaking this mold. He is breaking the biggest divisions in that times. And he is talking, he is saying, and remember this truth, dear church, if we are accepted by God, if we have confessed our sins, and if we have declared with our mouths that the Lord is God, and he is our Savior, he is our Master, if we have done that, and if we have obeyed him in water baptism, if you have testified it, if you have done that, you are a new creation. You are new in the Lord. Your old is buried. You are new. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We have a new family. We have a new father. We have a new brother. We have a new sister. Our family is one in the Lord. Praise be to God. This division is the devil's tactic which is brought into the churches. It is artificial. They have jammed into the church with the culture. The devil is at work to rip the churches apart, and that is his biggest aim. He does not have oneness. He doesn't like oneness. He loves division. You must have read that whole thing. You must have realized how many ones are mentioned in that. It is not by accident. It is not that Paul's hand was kept on writing 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. He wanted to drive one message. Now there is a very basic and basic desire on the part of the Holy Spirit through the scripture where he wants to talk about it. It is the desire of the Lord and the shepherd of the church. I want to tell you, as pastors of the church, there is a single desire that we should have unity in the church. It is the desire of the Lord, it is the desire of the Spirit, it is the desire of the church leadership. And Paul identifies it, both the problem and the solution, in one verse. And verse 27, it reads like this. I like the NASB translation which said it. Well, I think you read it from there. It says like this: only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only conduct yourself. I will be talking about only this one verse. And I will be talking about the what from this by four things. I will start with, I want you to understand Paul's heart when he's writing this. I want you to understand the details behind why he wrote that. I will be talking about four words in that. Number one, only. Number two, gospel of Christ. Number three, conduct. And number four, worthy. These four things I will quickly get to. I want to say, and I want you to understand, a few verses earlier, Paul is saying that I would want to tell you this church. In simple terms, just go back, verse 21 onwards. I think if you read verse 21 onwards, just follow with me. Apostle Paul was to rise from, if I were to say today, in simple terms, if Apostle Paul was coming here today, if he was standing in KPCT today, he comes from heaven, he comes down, he's raised from the dead, and he comes and he stands here, you know what his message would be? According to me, it would be this message. You know why? In previous verses, verse 21 onwards, you can see his heart when he's wrestling between death and life. Can you read from verse 21 onwards? For me to live is in Christ, and dying is gain. Go ahead. But if I live, I cannot tell you what I can choose between life and death. Okay, you can read on, and he says what? I want to tell you that the Lord has enabled me. So in short, he's saying, look, people, I want to go to heaven. Paul is telling this. I want to go to heaven. I would be happy to go to heaven in the presence of my Lord from this stinking, rotten jail. I want to go to heaven. I am happy to be done with all the suffering in the world. But as much as I would want that, I want to tell you something which is far, I know being with the Lord is far better, but I want to tell you something for the sake of the church. I am willing to postpone going to heaven to tell you the message which is what? Conduct yourself in a worthy manner of the gospel. Conduct yourself. And he says, even if I see you or even if I don't see you, conduct yourself in a worthy manner of the gospel. Paul's heart is coming out. I'm telling you, when he comes down here, he will look at us. He will look and he will tell you the same message. Church at KPCT Toronto, at Culford Road, conduct yourself in a worthy manner to the gospel of Christ. Amen. 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 Verse 27, if I come to see you or hear of you, remember, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy. And he says in chapter 2, he says, to make my joy complete. To make my joy, in order for my joy to be complete, you need to first conduct yourself in a worthy manner of the gospel of Christ. Tomorrow I want to ask you, when we go to heaven, Paul is there. Paul looks up to us and he looks at you and me and he looks and he says, did you make my joy complete? What is going to be our answer? What will we answer him if he says to us, you know, if he comes to us and he says, I'm asking you, brother, you coming from KPCT? Yes, oh, I heard of the church. Yes, very good. I'm asking you, did you make my joy complete? What will be our answer? Be ready to answer. He will ask. He's asked us to do it here. He's told the church to do it. He will ask you, what have you done? If you confess, if you profess the name of the Lord, your job, your responsibility is to only conduct yourself as a worthy manner. I want it to be a self-examination today. I want it, you know, there is in chemistry, there is a litmus test. You know what is a litmus test? Anybody knows? What is a litmus test? It's a paper which you dip in acid or in alkaline material. The color will change. Similarly, this message needs to be a litmus test for us. The minute we go through this, I want you to look at it and say, I don't see myself, yes or no. There is nothing in between. It is either a yes or a no. It's a litmus test which is going to be passing. Let's take the word. I like that word, only. You know what is the meaning of that? It emphasizes two things. Number one, it is a priority. Only means it is a priority. In Malayalam, you don't have that word only. I don't think so you have the word only. In English, you do have the word only. And I think it means a lot of meaning in that. Only do this means it is a priority. Paul is telling it is a priority, church, you need to do this. That is the first meaning of only. The second meaning is that is all that is needed. Adu madhi. Adu cheyda madhi is what Paul is telling. Only that is needed for you to do. What is it? Conduct yourself in a worthy manner according to the gospel of Christ. That is enough. That is the problem and that is the solution. That is a problem. If you don't conduct, all these things will happen. The bad things will happen. The divisions will happen. If you conduct yourself, you can avoid disunity. You can avoid. So the solution and the problem is the same statement. Amen. The pastor's concern, you can feel, he is a pastor's concern writing to the church of Philippians to conduct yourself in a worthy manner. You can see that only this, conduct yourself in a worthy manner. This is the whole issue of the church at Philippi. And this is the whole issue today as well. Now, second thing I want to talk about is the gospel of Christ. Now, if I were to ask you a question, if I were to ask an important question, it's very important that we understand this. If I were to ask is, what is the gospel of Christ? Now, some people have actually by-hearted the definition of the gospel. That is good. But what is the gospel? The good news. What is it? The good news is this, and I want to tell you this, and I want you to pay attention to this. The good news, and I like this definition a lot, the good news is that Jesus can deliver you and will deliver you from sin. And once you were a slave of sin, through Christ, you have become a servant of righteousness. A servant of righteousness. Can I just give a better explanation to that? The gospel is that you have been born again. You have been regenerated. You have become a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. You are not who you were. Your life is different. And you are living in a right way because of the new thing God has created in us. That is the gospel. But I want you to understand that, you know, if you ask some people, and some people in our churches today, not in our church, maybe not. In general, if you ask the Pentecost realm, what is the gospel? They will say, oh yes, I received the Lord and I remember the day and everything was good. The Lord saved me from the sin. Everything is correct. Whatever they're saying is correct. And they say, that was a wonderful day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. The problem is, the statement which is, they forget the last part of it, servant of righteousness. Servant of righteousness. They got the first half right, they didn't get the last part right. The first half, Jesus did this, Jesus saved me, Jesus cleansed me from my sin. Jesus did all of those things, and to become what? To become a new creation, a servant of righteousness. What does it mean? A servant of God who does right things. a servant of God who does right things. Amen. The word which God, Paul is using here is a gospel of Christ. He means is not a one-time event that you remember 10 years ago or 20 years ago which happened. No. He is telling it is a continuous, real life right now needs to be done in your life if you confess you are a Christian. It is a continuous way of living as a gospel of Christ. That should be in your life. Continuous. It is a present continuous. As a believer, your life is all about doing the right things for the Lord. It is continuous, present tense. What does that look like? What do you think that looks like? It will be marked with love. Love for the Lord, love for the Word of God, love for the church, love for the lost, love for the members, it will be marked with humility. Your life will always be in pursuit of righteousness if you are living in the gospel of Christ. You will understand that God's heart in the matter. You will understand, you will have thankful obedience to the Word of God. Your life will be marked with thoughtful worship to God who saved you and who gave you the gospel. That is all what Paul is saying. That the kind of life, your life as a Christian should match with the belief of the gospel which you have believed in. If your life does not match the gospel, I want to sorry to tell you, you may not be saved. You may not be transformed. You may not be renewed. I've heard this from many people. Enda pare swabhavam edthal undallo. If I take my old behavior, why does the old man come up? Because he has not been buried. I heard one pastor once say that, you know, when we do baptism, I hope when we dip the body, we should also ask the people to open their mouth. That water should go in and cleanse their mouth. Where they keep the up, they close their mouth and they go in. When they come out, the mouth is not changed. We're not living a life if our old man keeps coming up. It is better to be called an unbeliever than to be called a believer and not live a life of a believer. It is better to be called an unbeliever. I like the verse which Bobin told, and his Sunday school students know it very well. You are a common. It is better to be common than to be elected. Now here's a risk. I want to tell the risk and I want to carry on. Here's the risk. I have told you what the gospel is right now. I have told you what it means by what is meant by a Christian, how he should live, how he should walk. And tomorrow you cannot tell me I didn't know. When God will ask you to deal with this topic in some way or the other, he will ask, didn't one guy called Nobby came to your church and he told it on today, 30th March, he spoke about what is the worthiness of the gospel. You cannot say later that I didn't tell. And so that's a warning, forewarning. You can live your life any way you want, but don't tell I didn't tell you. Don't tell the pastor never told you. Don't tell that the Holy Spirit what he wants in you. Don't tell I didn't tell. I'm telling you now, live your life as a worthy manner. Conduct yourself in a worthy manner for the gospel of Christ. What does the word conduct? I'm quickly moving on. What does the word conduct mean? Conduct, you know, the reference over here is nothing but in reference to a citizenship. It is the same thing as citizenship. Philippi, I want to just give you a little bit of history. Philippi was a Roman colony. It was very far away from Rome, by the way. It was 800 miles from Rome. It used to take 7 weeks to walk. That is no Tesla. So no cars or anything. They used to walk. And it used to take 7 weeks to reach from Rome to Philippi. But the difference was, the people in Philippi, they were not Romans, but they were Roman colonies and they adopted the Roman culture into that. They used to speak Latin. They used to have the Roman language as a regular. They used to have the Roman clothing. They used to wear all of that things. Their magistrates and officials were all by Roman names. These are people who are not Romans, by the way. But why do you think that they got that? Because they wanted to associate themselves by being, if you are a Roman colony, we want to be like the Romans. So when a person, if he walks from 7 weeks and he comes from Rome to Philippi, he will see there is no difference. Romans there, Romans here also. Only thing is they're not Romans, but they're behaving like Romans. They have everything. And they used to do everything with a sense of responsibility and duty. That is the way they used to behave. And there, it was very important for them that this name should not go. It should not be brought down. Philippi is a Roman colony. That name should not be destroyed. So they used to do everything in their power to ensure that the name of Rome is glorified. They used to follow the rules. They used to, and best part of all, if they find another person in the Philippi who is struggling, they used to hold him up and they used to say that you are a Roman. Behave like it. Conduct yourself. That is what Paul is trying to tell this. He's using the same meaning that if you belong to the state of Rome, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Rome, then I want to ask you this question. You are part of the kingdom of God. How much more should you and I conduct ourselves in front of these people so that the name of God be glorified? How much more? Because the kingdom of God is far more worthy than the nation of Rome, than the citizenship of Canada, than your education in your college, than your workplace, than everything. The kingdom of God is bigger. Conduct yourselves, he says. Live as a citizen of the kingdom that you which belong to. If you don't belong to the kingdom, then it is fine. Do whatever you want. But if you have confessed with your mouth, if you have told that this is the Lord, is my Savior, you are part of the kingdom. And if you are part of the kingdom, behave like the kingdom citizen. Duties and responsibilities of the kingdom should be within our lives. God's kingdom is established for those who trust in Christ, and they don't do it only for themselves. They do it for all the people around. There is one verse. Can you read it? 1 Peter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Which actually entitlements given to us. Yeah, from the darkness you were came. Okay, you were what? Amen. Amen. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Blessing. I'm saying you have been chosen from darkness. You have been given some new entitlements. And this is a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. You should be proud to be part of this. You should conduct yourself. This is your new titles. In 1800, I don't have, this is a message on its own. Chosen people, royal priesthood and holy nation is a message on its own. I don't have time to go that. I will just summarize it in a very short while. Short letter. In 1800, there was a man by the name of Diogenes. He actually wrote to some people who is his friends around the nation, around the world actually. He wrote to them, he says, hey, I want to know what a Christian is. I want you to go and find out what the Christian is all about. And can you write to me and tell me what they're all about? Because he's heard about Christians. He's heard about everything. And then the people went around, they did some research, they looked at all the lifestyle, they lived with them. And then there is a letter which is coming as a report card, which I'm going to read. And I'm going to read it as it is very quickly. It reads like this. And this is what they have written about what is a Christian in 1800. The distinction between Christians and other men does not lie in country or language or customs. They follow local customs in clothing, food, and in the rest of life. They are normal people. And yet they exhibit the wonderfully contradictory nature of their own citizenship. They are showing a life which is not matching the life of the citizen of the nation. They live in their own countries, but as if they are resident aliens. They share all things as citizens, and yet they endure all things as if they were an underclass. Every foreign country is their homeland, and every homeland is a foreign country. The land where they're living, they believe it's their homeland, but they live in a lifestyle which means that that is not my country. That is what it means. They marry like everyone else, have children, they do not abort their young, they keep a common table, they do not have a common bed. Meaning they do not share their lifestyles with other people share. That was the practice of that time. They live in the world, but not in a worldly way. They enjoy a full life on earth, but their citizenship is in heaven. They obey the appointed laws, but they surpass the laws in their own lifestyle. They love everyone and are universally derided. They are unknown and roundly criticized. They are put to death and gain life. They are poor, but they make others rich. They lack all things, and yet all things they have in abundance. They are dishonored and are glorified in their dishonor. They are abused and they call down blessings in return. When they are beaten up, they rejoice as men who are given a new life. In short, where the soul is in the body, what the soul is in the body, that is what the Christians are in the world. The soul lives in the body but is not confined to the body. And the Christians live in the world but are not confined to the world. God has appointed them to this great calling, and it would be wrong for them to decline it. This is what the report card said about Christians to Diogenes. Wow, what a privilege to be called a Christian. I wanted to look at the third word, worthy. Running out of time, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm taking a little time. Worthy. The third word, worthy. What is the meaning of worthy? It simply means comparable. Comparable. Equal or consistent. What basically Paul is saying, that when I look at you, I should see the reflection equal to the gospel of Christ. I should see you equal to Christ. I should see you compare yourself and I should say, oh, that is a Christian. That is worthy. That is the meaning of worthy. The worst possible things to undermine the integrity of a Christian is to profess to be a Christian and not live a life worthy of a Christian. I want you to understand what makes us worthy. What makes us worthy? And when we are worthy, things will happen. Integrity says that this is what I believe. I believe in something. And I will do everything in my capacity, in my control, to live a life worthy of that integrity. That is what worthy means. Now I want you to go, I'll quickly run through this. I talked about the what. I told you it is only, it is conduct, it is worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is what the what. And I want to talk about to whom, and probably conclude with that. To whom? Primarily to whom? To everyone around us, especially to people in the church. That is what Paul is saying. Everyone around us, they should look at you and say you're a Christian, but especially to the people within the church. And Paul has given a comparison. Can you read Romans 12, 4 to 5? Romans 12, 4 to 5. As we have many members of one body. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Sandeep. And though we are many, we are one body in Christ. What a wonderful privilege you and I have. This church is one body of Christ. I recently came across a WhatsApp forward which I sent to the youth group. And it read like this, and I want to read it. It is by Michael Horton. He writes like this: a church is not a group of friends you have picked. It's not a group of friends you have picked. It is a group of brothers and sisters God has picked for you. Hallelujah. It is not a group of friends you have picked. It is a group of brothers and sisters God has picked for you in this church. I want you to understand the magnitude of that statement. It means that the members of one body has been positioned in your life because God wants it to be there. You will never find a perfect church. You will never find a perfect group of people on this side of eternity. That is the reality. Then why did God bring such kind of people together? You want to know the reason? Why did God bring that person who will irritate you? Why did God bring that person who will make you angry in the church? You know, whenever I talk to, I don't know why. Why do you get that, you know, person in this church who will not agree with whatever you say? Why do you get this person who may correct you and you don't like it? Why did God do it? Why did God pick such kind of people in front of you so that you get irritated and all of those things? Why? You want to know the reason why? The reason is because he wants to see how you will conduct yourself in front of them. He wants to see, God is looking how you would react in a way, in a situation. When that person comes and irritates you, what will your reaction be? Will it be worthy of the gospel? Or will it be something which is not worthy of the gospel? The question is on to you. God is watching you. That is why he's brought these imperfect people together. So that when they irritate you, you should bless them. When they are angry with you should hug them. When they are abusing you should kiss them. That is why God is brought, because he wants to see the conduct of you. If our God, when he was standing in front of, we have the Lord's table coming, when he was standing in front and they were abusing him, accusing him in the court, what did he do? Kept silent. Why? He showed a character of who he really is. And God is looking if you will do the same. Worthy of the gospel. Is your conduct, is your life worthy of the gospel? And I wanted to tell this quickly. You know, if you want to know how do you test this? I don't have time. Can I take some time, Pastor? Sorry. Okay, I need to finish this. That's why. How do you test? Can you look at Romans 12 in that same chapter? Romans 12, 9 to 21. 9 to 21. There are 20 things. Okay, I'll quickly ask somebody to read and I will not go into depth. But I want you to go home. Or right now, when you read, when you look at it, you see 20 things are written over there. Of what a member of the body is supposed to be like. And I want you to compare and, you know, take a list. Make the 20 into a list. Next to it, you remember the first point. Remember about the church member. Remember about everybody. And I want you to think, yes, I have conducted myself in a life worthy. Put a tick. If the next one, I have conducted myself in a life worthy of the gospel, put a tick. Please do this exercise. You will be remarkably astonished. Can you read quickly Romans 12, 9 to 21? Yeah. No, say that. Sorry. Blessing chair. One more time. Read it again. Let your love be sincere. Oh. Oh, praise God. Let your love be sincere. That itself disqualifies many of us. That itself disqualifies many of us. Adu kaiyittu ullu baaki. Let your love be sincere, without hypocrisy. That is another translation. Let your love be sincere. Have we loved another brother or another sister sincerely? If it is a yes, many of the things which follow will do well. Blessing chapter petanu vaichare. Amen. Rejoice in hope. Amen. Amen. Distribute for the needs of the saints. Give unto the hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Amen. Bless but do not curse. Go ahead. Rejoice with those who are in rejoicing. Weep with those who we weep. Yep. Amen. Yep. Don't repay with evil with evil. Amen. 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 Yep. Amen. Let the Lord deal with your problems. I will repay them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You know, many times the problem which you have, I'll just give it a chance. God is saying, vengeance is mine. Let me repay it. Today, Pastor was mentioning that one angel came. God needs to send sometimes half an angel or maybe quarter of an angel, Madhi, for God to deal. We take it on ourselves to deal with the problem. Vengeance is mine. 20 things which is listed over there. I want you to go back and read. But I want you to pay attention to this part. There's a beautiful commentary by Martin Lloyd-Jones when he wrote about this particular verse. And he says that if you're looking at this is how, and by the way, the heading, I think in English you have the heading. I don't know if in Malayalam you have the heading. What is the heading? It says love in action. Love in action. Either this is an active reciprocation of love. That is what Paul is trying to say. And Martin Lloyd-Jones is a famous theologian. He wrote a commentary about this particular passage and he wrote like this. He says, you cannot do Romans 12, 9 to 21. You cannot do Romans 9 to 21 unless first you do Romans 12 verse 1. Can you read 12 verse 1? Therefore, I urge you, brethren of KPCT or of the Church of Romans or the Church of Philippi. What do I urge you, Paul says? By the mercies of God. Underline that if you can. By the mercies of God. What? That you present yourself as a living sacrifice. You, Martin Lloyd-Jones is saying, you cannot go to 9 and 21. Adonnum cheyan okkathilla sahodari sahodaramare. That is what he's saying. You cannot do that unless you do this first thing. What? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But the key thing is not that. That is easy. Humbling yourself may be easy. You can put a false humility. All that is easy. But the biggest statement in that is, in the mercy of God. In the mercy of God. You know what that means? You know what that means? In this church, even if you are angry with somebody else, you have not lived a life worthy of the gospel, God has been merciful to you and to me. God has been merciful to you and to me. When we showed a grudge against the pastor, we didn't fall dead immediately. That is the mercy of God. When you hated a sister or a brother and you shared something which is not meant with a good tongue, with a good heart, you didn't die instantly because of the mercy of God. You need to humble yourself first in front of God, then in front of man. Think of all the time you have not fallen dead when your mind ridiculed, or your mind hated, or believed in one of those backstabbed, or broken another person's trust, or believed in, you know, when the other person or the other member of the body you have hurt, you have destroyed. You have not fallen dead. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, should be our cry. In the mercy of Christ, you and I are alive. Be it in this church, be it outside church, in your workplace, in your colleges, if you have not behaved according to the conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ, it is God's mercy giving you another chance. It is God's mercy giving you another chance to repent. It is God's mercy giving you a chance to wipe the slate clean. It is God's mercy. 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 Conduct, your expression of the conduct worthy of the gospel is rooted in love. It is in love. I want to conclude by saying one statement which gives you a good analogy, a good comparison, which was written by this person by the name of Dane Ortlund. It says like this: a sun, you know the sun, a sun that gives us light but does not give us heat, it is no sun at all. Oru suryan prakasham theruvanengil pashe chood anubhavikkan okkathillengil adoru suryan alla. Similarly, a Christian who has the right doctrine but has no love or application of the doctrine in their life is no Christian at all. It is a fake Christian. Similarly, oru Christiani doctrine ellam seriyayirikkum but adinte application avare jeevithathil illengil avar oru fake Christian, hypocrite. How do we achieve this? I know that is it. I talked about what and the whom. I don't have time for the how do we achieve this. But if you go back and read, I want you to go back and read Philippians 1, 27 to 2, verse 4. You will find 9 things which are listed there. 9 things listed there of how you can achieve to be a person worthy of the gospel. I'll just quickly read it. Standing firm, verse 27, just follow with me. Standing firm in the faith. Number 2, being comforted in his love. 2 verses 1. Number 3, sharing in the spirit. Again in 2 verses 1. Number 4, being tender and compassionate. Being 2 verses 1. Number 5, being single-minded. Being of single mind and of one spirit. Verse 2. 2 verse 2. Having the same love. Everybody, when we see each other, should have the same love. 2 verse 2. Number 7. Doing nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing about yourself. It is all about the other person. 2 verse 3. Humble yourself above others. 2 verse 3. Look for the other's interest above yours. 2 verse 4. 9 things Paul has told, if you want to make my joy complete, you need to conduct yourself. How to conduct, he has given. You just need to learn it and practice it. That is the problem, that is the solution. Can we all rise up to our feet? Can we all rise up to our feet as we pray and conclude? I want you to remember, today we have the Lord's table amongst us. I want you to remember the word which is there. Have we lived a life which is worthy of the gospel? Has our conduct been a conduct worthy of the gospel? Only that we need to do, brothers and sisters. That is all what is needed in our life. Only this is needed, a life which is worthy of conduct. I want all of you to close your eyes. I want all of you to reflect on the fact. I want all of you to think and say, Lord, there are many times I have not had the glory. I have lost. I have become a worldly person in my thought, in my talk, in my walk. At times I have not lived a life which is worthy of the gospel. And I recognize, Lord, that it is your mercy that I am alive even after that. It is your mercy, O Lord. I want to give you, the church, an opportunity. The word of God says that when you are taking part in the Lord's table, when you come to the altar, when you come there, if there is something which you have against your brother, it says leave it there. If you've got something against your sister, leave it there. I'm giving you the opportunity to church. Why? Before we get into the Lord's table today, if there is something in your heart which you have run wrong, if there is something which you have done or said or walked in a way which is wrong, your brother or your sister in this church, I want to give an opportunity that to make it right and to repent and to go and hug this person and say, I have wronged you and I ask for forgiveness. I'm asking you this in the love of Christ, and I'm saying that you are living an example to make yourself worthy of your conduct, worthy of your life is in light of the gospel of Christ. Before we get into the table today, I think you should take that decision. You should take that decision. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for everything you're doing in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for KPCD. Thank you for the believers. Thank you for the church. As we heard your word, help us to transform ourselves. Help us to live a life worthy of your name, worthy of the gospel. We conduct ourselves in that manner. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.